Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
One thing I'd like to start with here before I get on to my message today. I really appreciate the praise and worship band this morning. The reason I say that is because we all come rushing in here from the world, you know, Monday through Friday, whatever, and they act as that calming period that we all need to transition. I mean, how many of you come walking in the door with your hands in the air, praising God and all that? You know, you come in here, you get the praise and worship band, they sing songs and you know, it's just, it settles your spirit. It gets you thinking, more about God and what we're here for and the importance of why we're here and how fortunate we are. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And another thing I wanted to mention, we just again had an opportunity to share if God had placed something on our hearts. Probably more than 2 weeks ago, God gave me a vision for our building fund situation, and this is the only way I can describe it. In the summer of 1974, I was going to Penn State University as a new student. I know for some of you younger people in here, you're wondering, "Holy cow, that's a long time ago." Well, Penn State has a outdoor swimming facility, and then they also have a diving facility, 1 meter, 3 meter, 10 meter. Well, as a young, college student, and you're out there in the summertime, and you're being challenged to, go up there. But I think the way the analogy I have is Pastor Tom started more than a decade ago climbing up the stairs to that 10 meter platform. And the rest of us, as we've come along and become members of this church, we've climbed up those stairs, not to the 1 meter level, not to the 3 meter level, but we all are congregating up on the 10 meter level. You can see a lot of things from the 10 meter level. Who else is up on that 10 meter platform with us? The devil. And what's he saying to us? We know in order for this building to happen, we've got to jump off that 10-meter platform. What's the devil saying to some of the members of this church? Don't jump. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be a lot of difficult times. This is going to be a big transition. And he's just kind of nibbling away at our ears. And until, as a congregation, that we all decide to jump off that 10-meter platform, the devil's not going to jump off with us. He's going to go torment somebody else. We're going to jump off that platform, and then that building project will go forward. So, give that some thought. Give that some thought. And the devil will resist us as long as we are hesitant. But as soon as we've committed 100%, and once you jump, you're committed. If anyone of you ever jumped off a 10-meter platform, I did it once. Once was enough. But once you've stepped off, there's no going back. And so keep that in mind. Book of Proverbs. This was something that, everyone talks about New Year's resolutions. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, losing weight. Those things never work for me. But one of the things that God impressed upon me is, and I've heard other people, more mature in the spirit than me, talk about the book of Proverbs and the fact that there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and there's 31 days in the month of January. So, seemed logical. Okay, I'm going to read a chapter every day, and by the end of January, I'll have read the whole book of Proverbs, and then we can move on to whatever else God has for me. Well, as is in my title, it took me 6 months. Because, you know, you're really diligent. Proverbs 1, Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3, and then all of a sudden it's January 7th. Okay, Proverbs 7, then it's January 15th. Okay, Proverbs 15. And before you know it, you've gotten through the month of January, and it's like, I don't think I got very many of them. So again, you try it again in February. Well, it really took me, in all honesty, to June to get through all 31. Not that I hadn't read them before, but I was just trying to be diligent in my reading. And of course, the other thing I'd like to say is, I can't remember the last time I shared. I can't remember the date, but I know why God did not call me to be a pastor when it's taken me this long for this. So I appreciate that. Okay. As most of you know, the book of Proverbs, for the most part, was penned by Solomon. And he lived from 970 to 930 B.C., and B.C. in my vernacular stands for before Christ. I assume that's pretty common knowledge. That's 3,000 years ago. That's a long time. And I guess the other thing that surprised me is Solomon only lived 40 years. So, his wisdom was a gift from God and an answer to his prayer. And I think a lot of us, sometimes, that needs to be in our prayer. You know, we need to ask for God's wisdom. You know, I know in my job environment, there are a lot of times where a serious situation will come up, and I'm going from point A to point B, and by the time I get to point B, I'm going to have a serious conversation with somebody. I throw up a prayer. I say, God, please, when I open my mouth, give me the words, you know. That's wisdom. You know, that's God's wisdom that I'm seeking. And I'm not seeking knowledge, I'm seeking wisdom. Knowledge is knowing how to drive a car. Knowledge is knowing how to take apart and rebuild an engine. Okay? I'm talking about wisdom. In Solomon's lifetime, he penned over 3,000 proverbs during his reign. That's amazing. And what Solomon wrote and what ended up in Proverbs really was during a time period when what you would call Solomon's mature years as a king. Solomon had problems later in his life, but we're not going to focus on that. But these things in Proverbs were penned when Solomon was at the height of his literary power. Two of the best teachers in the Bible were Solomon and Jesus. What was the difference? Integrity. That's the major difference between Solomon and Jesus as it relates to being a teacher. There are 66 books in the Bible, but only two have 31 chapters. Proverbs is one. Who knows the other one? Anybody? I don't have any candy or anything for you today. 1 Samuel. The reason I know that, obviously, because I'm talking, but one of the things I wanted to say was Proverbs is the only book in the Bible with 31 chapters. And then I'm like, I better check that. And I went through, you know, book by book, and 1 Samuel, it's got 31 chapters, so I better make mention of that. The thing I like about Proverbs, you know, pithy sayings, comparisons, contrasts, but the main purpose of the book of Proverbs was passing wisdom from father to son, mother to daughter, wife to husband, generation to generation. And it is incredible for something that was written 3,000 years ago by Solomon, for the most part. You can read it today, and I challenge you not to come away and having learned something. It's amazing. The language is simple. Some of the proverbs obviously are easy to remember, and it just always astounds me how intelligent, how much wisdom was imparted upon Solomon to write some of these scriptures that have survived to this day and that we can read and still learn from. Here's a phrase I really like. Wisdom is the skill of living. The skill of living. And Proverbs is full of all sorts of passages about relationships, finances, emotions, attitudes, integrity, marriage, and living a disciplined life. Karen Depp, where's she at? She's back there. She posted something on Facebook earlier this week, and it was kind of a nice little confirmation that what I was going to share today was pretty much on target. And I'll read it verbatim if you would, Karen. We are drowning in information while starving for wisdom. You know, that's so true to us in this day and age. We've got information. We can Google. You know, we can. Whoever heard of the word Google 20 years ago? But you know, we've got information. But what we lack sometimes is wisdom. And really, wisdom may only be a prayer away. Reach out for it, ask for it, receive it. Have the faith to open your mouth. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I prayed for wisdom. I'm not getting anything, but I've got to say something. I can't stand here and be silent. People are expecting me to say something. And you start talking, and then it's almost later, someone will come to you and say, boy, what you said was spot on. And you're like, boy, I don't even remember what I said. But it's I've had those kind of experiences, and believe me, if you really need God's wisdom and you reach out and request it and ask for it and have the faith to open your mouth, you'll be amazed. This is a commercial brought to you by Volvo Mining Equipment. I figured as I was putting this together, and I struggle with, I don't do PowerPoints that often, but I struggle with some of the creativity that Pastor Tom shows in his PowerPoints in color and, you know, videos and things like that. And I figured, well, maybe at the least I could put in a color picture. So that's what you're seeing there. This is, you know, when I'm not in church, this is where I'm at. I'm in the mining business. I'm around heavy equipment. This was taken in Motherwell, Scotland. This, the group of us, Volvo Mining Equipment, myself on the far left and my foreman on the far right, we were invited by Volvo to come to Europe and see their new, what they call their rigid frame R100E. They want to launch, Volvo wants to launch this piece of equipment into the American market. And what's interesting is that Volvo is always known for their engines and environmentally clean running engines. But guess what? They're putting a Cummins engine in this truck. Because in the United States, if you're going to run heavy equipment, it has to be Tier 4 compliant. And Volvo has not developed an engine that has enough horsepower that's Tier 4 compliant. So they're putting a Cummins engine in a Volvo truck. And they're supposed to deliver that truck to our site for a demonstration sometime in the not too distant future. So that'll be exciting. So much for that commercial. Pay attention, I may have other commercials in here too. Proverbs 1. And trust me, I'm not going to go through all 31 of them. New King James Version. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you read that in the Message Bible, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. One thing I like about my one Bible app is you can toggle from New King James Version to King James Version to the Message Bible to the Amplified Bible. And it's amazing how scriptures that we're very familiar with sound so different, depending on the Bible you're reading it from. So it's interesting to, as you're doing a study on a certain book, like I was doing on Proverbs, it's interesting to take a look at the same passages in different Bibles. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. You know, a lot of the passages in Proverbs are kind of like comfort food. You know, it's kind of like that, I'm going to make everybody hungry now. It's kind of like that hamburger right off the grill with a little slice of cheese on it and a fresh slice of tomato out of the garden and a handmade and homemade iced tea to go along with it. I mean, the passages out of Proverbs are like that. You read them and it's kind of like, oh, it kind of settles your spirit. Everybody will be rushing out of here pretty soon. Proverbs 3:5-6, very, very, very familiar to all of you. One that I would call one of my life verses: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your paths straight. So he's going to direct your path. He's going to make it straight. He's going to make it smooth. And it's been a life verse of mine. It's kind of rattles around in my brain as I go through my week. And it's amazing how it keeps you, you know, don't go there, don't go there. Stay on this straight path. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Or in the Message Bible, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Okay, again, I challenge you to grab any chapter out of Proverbs and read it and not get something from it. You know, it's kind of what I did is after I went through all 31 chapters, I came back through, and I did this numerous times. I would kind of scan each one real quick, and then a verse would pop out at me. And that's what I was doing here is writing down these verses. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you open the menu, and all of a sudden you're looking at it for 5 seconds, and all of a sudden, boom, T-bone. That's what I want. Okay, so that's the way Proverbs got to be with me as I was reading it and rereading it. Proverbs 5:15. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Or in the Message, do you know the saying? Drink from your own rain barrel, draw water from your own spring-fed well. This is not a class on hydrogeology. This is a little bit more related to marriage and adultery. So it's interesting language. And the amazing thing about Solomon, later in his life, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he must have forgotten about this one. But going to move along a little bit quicker here. Again, for the sake of time, I didn't really have anything. Proverbs 6, Proverbs 7. And again, trust me, I'm not going through every one of these. We'll start skipping along here pretty quick. Proverbs 8. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all things cannot be compared with her. This is an example of the excellence of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10-11. This is an example of the way of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. And just about the time you were all falling asleep, another commercial comes along. This commercial is brought to you by Caterpillar Equipment. This is how you put the bed on a 100-ton rock truck. You lift the bed up in the air and you back the truck underneath it and set it down with two cranes on each side. We took delivery of this truck back in June. This is a Cat 777F. That truck is actually a 2008 model. Anybody want to know what the price tag of that is for a 2008 Caterpillar? $565,000 delivered to the site. So if anybody wants to buy one. Proverbs 10:9, wise sayings of Solomon. This is kind of where you get into the heart of Proverbs. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. It kind of gives you a pause when you read something like that. Skipping a little bit here, Proverbs 15:1. We all are familiar with this one. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, a familiar verse. Easy to remember, uses few words, and imparts wisdom. This is why, again, a lot of what ended up in Proverbs was what parents were using to tell their children, and it just was generation to generation to generation. Proverbs 20:13. I thought this was a good one. Do not love sleep, except on Sunday mornings. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. And again, I go back to that, what we said earlier. Wisdom is the skill of living. I mean, you read something as simple as this is, people who read it, they get it. It's like, okay, I got that. Proverbs 22:6. I'm going to maybe disrupt some people here a little bit. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've all heard it. We've all rest upon it. Message Bible. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. A proverb is not a promise. Everyone's like, ugh. You know, a proverb is a literary device that highlights a truth. Each person is responsible before God for his or her actions. Our adult children are included in that. So, I know, like I say, I might be stepping on some toes here, but proverbs are not promises. They're literary truths, you know, and they highlight truth. Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Again, language that we don't normally use. I mean, you know, foot out of joint. Who uses that kind of language? But boy, does it get the point across. It really does. I didn't even look at that in the message. That would have been interesting. I think of this passage as I think of the men's group and the men's breakfast. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's kind of a verse that I like to hang on to when we have these men's breakfasts. But it says, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It doesn't say whether that friend is male or female. So it's not specific to men. But the way I like to think of it and use it is the men's groups, the importance of us getting together, sharing things. What's going on in your life? How are things going? What are you struggling with? Do you need a hand with something? That kind of thing. Another commercial. This is the Cat 6015B. I won't even ask you to guess what the price tag of that is. This machine weighs 315,000 pounds. And that's the bucket up close. It's a big machine. It does a lot of earth moving. And last but not least, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 was not penned by Solomon. Proverbs 31 was actually the sayings, the mother of King Lemuel, and it's really the only time in the whole Bible that this king is referenced, but Proverbs 31 were things that this king's mother would always say to him. And let me just give you six things real quick. And it was really, it was what the woman's role was. And number one is the way she works with her hands, the way she creates a home. And this is the king's mother telling him these things, the importance of a good woman, the way she sees herself, the way she invests in her marriage, the way she speaks, and the way she exercises her faith. And again, if you look at Solomon, and it's hard not to look at Solomon when you look at Proverbs, Solomon, as I indicated, you know, when he was a strong ruler in the middle of the peak of his reign, and these 3,000 Proverbs came to him, you know, that was kind of like the peak of his life. But then, like I said, he married 700 women. He had 300 concubines, and they all started nibbling on his ear and telling him things and pulling him aside. But you know what he said at the end of his life? This is what Solomon said at the conclusion of his life. Life has meaning only when God is the context for it all. This is a very wise man that had the peak, and that got pulled away from it, and then on his deathbed, life has meaning only when God is the context for it all.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.